The name of the book, The Puppet Master. Hey, it's Arrow inside the LAProductions.us studio. Unplugged and totally uncut with Ron Barrick.
Good morning. This is Ron Barrick calling in for Mr. Collins.
Well, you got him, Mr. Ron Barrick.
Thank you. How do I pronounce your first name?
Arrow, as in bow and arrow. It's a radio thing.
Okay. Well, I just... you know, didn't want to misspeak in the midst of a recording.
Yeah, I totally get that, because that's been one of the biggest struggles being in the radio business, is that people with the Arbitron and the ratings and stuff like that, they always thought, is it Earl? Is it Harold? Is it Errol? What's going on here? But it was one of those where it was like, if I'm going to keep one thing for my whole entire career, it's going to be my name.
Yeah, and you know, even that's interesting, because I said Mr. Collins because I wasn't sure how to pronounce Arrow. And even as I was saying that, I was saying, oh my goodness, what if this is a woman and not a man? You know, it's not a common name that I come across.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things, when we'll talk about that name for just a couple of seconds, because my first wife was a writer, and you know, as a writer, you've got to come up with interesting names so that readers can attach themselves to it, and that's where the name actually came from, was from her first book.
That's very interesting. I get laughed at by my wife when I come up with names of characters. Sometimes they work and they make sense. Other times they're totally from left field. And I don't necessarily do that good a job. But in the case of Cyrus Brooks, I really like that name. And his wife's name is Eloise. And Cyrus and Eloise are somewhat autobiographical, not uncommon for writers to do that. And although, you know, I don't think my wife looks like or behaves like an Eloise, or what that conjures up for me, or that I necessarily behave like a Cyrus, but we like those names and they have stuck, and I'm now 3 novels into the series, so I think they're going to stick around.
When you've got a team partner like that on your side, one of the things that my first wife and I did was we would tape record everything, like almost every conversation, because we always wanted to make sure that we got it right. Do you guys do the same thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My wife is really the artist and the person of literature in our family more than I am. I wrote my first novel on a dare from friends. And so my wife is indeed kind of one of my editors, probably, depending on your vantage point, either less compensated or more compensated than my other editors. But we haven't ever taped anything, but I have learned, maybe having reached the age in life that I have, that if I have an idea, I better write it down.
Yep.
I used to say, well, I know exactly what's on my mind here. And, you know, I learned the hard way. Yeah, but a couple of days later, you don't remember it.
Yep.
So if it's good, you better write it down. So oftentimes, if my wife is commenting on something I've given her to read, she might only be a room away from where I am, but she'll still do it in an email so that we have it.
Yep.
And I won't forget it.
Well,
she particularly doesn't want me to forget her critiques.
Wow. The brand new book is mind-blowing in the way that it sounds like that you were sitting behind your desk and all of a sudden I come into your office and you're saying, you're not going to believe the story that I just experienced. Sit down for a moment and let me go ahead and tell you this story. You are so one-on-one with your writing style.
Well, I take that as a compliment, and I thank you for that. When I write, I always try to keep in mind what, as a reader, I would like reading. So my chapters are short. My sentences tend to be simpler.
Yep.
Nobody's going to accuse me of being, a big time literary author. You know, I tend to write more like a friend of mine who's been very helpful, who is Lee Child, author of the Jack Reacher novels.
Yes.
You know, I write sentences that tend to say, "See Dick run. Dick runs fast." And I use lots of clip sentences, which people on occasion will say, "Didn't you take any English classes? Don't you understand proper English?" And I will say, "Well, I was a physics major. I didn't have that many English classes, but I practiced law for 50 years. I think I know how to string sentences together, but I will write with clipped sentences for literary effect." And most people, but not everybody, likes that. They understand that short statements are tense, and they gather and present tension. Just like I think short chapters do. I like
yes.
giving readers a chance to come up for air sooner rather than later. And I always try to have something at the end of each chapter that wasn't anticipated, so that the reader says, maybe I'll read just one more chapter before I fights for the night.
The book we're talking about is The Puppet Master, Frank Letello. Boy, he comes face to face with a serial killer. Are you a man of a split personality or what?
Well, you could say that the vigilante serial killer antagonist in The Puppet Master is indeed a split personality, or at least it is the case that he is suspected of having that kind of a personality. Letello is involved in arresting the man, Cliff Norman, who is arrested and tried in the courtroom presided over by Cyrus Brooks. And Letello meets Brooks for the first time when he begins to suspect the man he arrested may not be what he appears to be, and particularly because he starts finding some strange goings on deep in the White House. Mm-hmm. So Brooks and Letello at great jeopardy to their respective careers form somewhat of an alliance. Brooks in the courtroom, Letello his arms and legs out in the community to try and figure out what really has gone on in this whodunit story. As the trial finishes and is handed off to a jury that is deliberating the fate not only of the accused, but also our dysfunctional government.
Right, right. And see, that's what I love about it, is that this book is so up-to-date. I mean, you're talking about the Washington swamp and everything, the White House. I mean, that is right there on the tip of everybody's mind right now.
Yes, that's what I try and do. If you look at my website, RonaldSBerrick.com, very original, but easy to remember, you will see that I brand myself as blurring the lines of fiction and reality. So, and I've had some say that not only do I rip my stories from the headlines, but I often precede or make the headlines, because here I have in The Puppet Master a vigilante serial killer, not unlike the fellow who came along a bit after I wrote the novel and started sending mail bombs to prominent politicians.
Yep.
So I try and keep my stories timely. In the amendment killer, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing a challenge by Congress attacking a constitutional amendment that would criminalize political corruption. So people talk about that in reality. And in the story, I actually call on my legal background to draft a 28th Amendment to the Constitution.
Oh, wow.
A fictional one, because our Constitution has only 27 amendments. But I try and keep these stories very timely.
You know, since you're talking about putting yourself into it, I've always wondered, when you have a story like this where the author knows the beginning, the middle, the end, have you ever wanted to challenge yourself to put yourself on the stand so that you could question yourself? Or would you put yourself in the jury so you could see everything else that's going on?
Oh, I do all those things.
That's awesome.
When I'm writing, you know, in The Puppet Master, after the closing arguments are presented in the trial and the case is handed off to the jury, you have 12 jurors, you know, arguing what the verdict should be in the case. Every one of those jurors has a little bit of me in them, and vice versa. I think that's true of most writers. You know, Cyrus and Eloise Brooks are somewhat reflective of, or autobiographical of, my wife Barbie and me. Mm-hmm. And Frank Letello is actually pulled a lot from the personality of our son, Mark. So you usually find that. If you look at The Amendment Killer, where there is a case being heard before the Supreme Court, the justice who has the swing vote, this is not Brooks. Brooks has now left the bench. He's a lawyer defending this amendment in the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court justice who has the swing vote is confronted at the start of the book with a text that says, "We have your granddaughter.
Mm.
This is what you need to do. She's 11-year-old, precocious, and she is diabetic."
Yes.
Now, I put her in the story for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted to add a little spice to the constitutional courtroom battle in the Supreme Court. And what better than an 11-year-old youngster whose life is put on the line because she's kidnapped by a kidnapper who doesn't understand she's diabetic and has an insulin pump that is running out of insulin.
Oh, no.
And there is your thriller novel ticking time bomb. But also, I'm diabetic.
Yep.
So there's always a little bit of me in the various characters. I wanted to draw some attention to diabetes. My wife and I have committed 50% of the proceeds of The Amendment Killer to diabetes research and education. And so my brand, Blurring Fiction and Reality, it shows up all over the place in my writing.
What a beautiful heart. So when you put together a prequel, what is it like to go back in time knowing that you've got to be meticulously spot on so that you don't change the future?
Great question. In this case, I actually wrote The Puppet Master first.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was. It's the first in the chronology of the novels. I don't mean by chronology the one that came first. It is the first in time. If you look at the time frame in The Puppet Master, it is before the time frame in The Amendment Killer. I was not someone who wanted all my life to become a novelist. I wanted to make an Olympic team for a long time, and I worked hard to accomplish that, but I didn't have notions of being a writer. What happened is I play golf every week with a bunch of friends, and we have lunch afterwards, and we talk about political events and books we've read and movies we've seen. And there's an author, a branded, very successful New York Times best-selling author, whose books I love. But I was being critical of him on one occasion because without warning, he got to the end of the book and there was no closure. He wanted you to have to come back and read the next one. And I was critical of that, and a couple of my friends at this lunch said, you know, if you're such a wise guy, why don't you get out of the back seat and show us what you can write? And so, being hopefully a good lawyer, I pretended I didn't hear, and I changed the subject very quickly. But I came home, and I told my wife, gosh, I think I have to try and write a novel. Well, I had an idea for the story. You couldn't pay attention and be a political junkie like I am and not maybe have an idea or two for a story. But I didn't at that point in time know the difference between pace, point of view, voice, any of those things. So when I finished writing that and was able to give it to the manuscript to my friends and say, see, aha, it really wasn't something that was quite ready to be published and shared with the public. But I had discovered that in the process, I really enjoyed writing. So I started reading how-to books and going to writing conferences, and I got a much better handle on how one responsibly writes a novel. And so I then wrote The Amendment Killer. And because I had learned a bunch in between, The Amendment Killer was more suitable for public release at that juncture than The Puppet Master was. So I released The Amendment Killer first. Then I went back and rewrote several times The Puppet Master and got it, if not just right, certainly a lot better than my rough draft, which was a first draft, which a lot of people in the writing industry refer to as vomit draft. And so then it was ready, but since it came earlier, I had to make it the prequel to The Amendment. But I had it all laid out because The Puppet Master, to answer your question, if not completely smoothed out, already existed.
Wow. You're a student and you are a leader. And man, you can come back to this radio show anytime in the future, sir.
Well, it's my pleasure. I have enjoyed talking with you. Great questions. I hope your readers will enjoy listening to our colloquy here and will take a chance and read The Puppet Master and The Amendment Killer. And the next one that I'm working on at present called Payback. And I always love hearing from my readership.